Like, there are a lot of similarities between growing a garden and growing a business and being a gardener and being an entrepreneur. The conversations you have, the struggles, the highs, the lows, the metaphors are just so abundant in both of those spaces. So that
you're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here with Mershon Hargrave. Mershon, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on the podcast this morning.
You know, I'm excited to have this conversation. It's been long overdue. We met forever ago, and I know you're up to new and exciting things. You are the owner and founder of High Vibe Cowork. And I like that you guys are a little bit different. So when I first heard cowork, I imagined the traditional model. And if someone doesn't know a co-working space, it's you come to the space and it's kind of like an office outside of home. So maybe you don't go to the office. You can go to the co-work and sit in a little cubby and be surrounded by people and socialize and network. But you're taking that concept a completely different route, right? Tell me a little bit about what you guys do at High Vibe.
Yeah, so when I originally had the idea, there was going to be a physical space, but it has transitioned into a totally virtual community. So there is like co-working hours where we just hop on Zoom and have our to-do list of things to do and put on some good music and get stuff done. But the real core of it is more mastermind community. So we have daily meetings where I do it in small cohorts, and it's just like, okay, what are you working on and how can I help you and how can we make progress this week towards your bigger goals? Entrepreneurship can be lonely and it can be, you know, we play a lot of mental gymnastics. And so being surrounded by other people who are doing the same thing and having the same fears and doubts, and also being around people who are having wins and like feeding off of that energy, it's just really powerful. So
it is powerful to have that accountability, celebrate wins together. I mean this in the best way possible, but I'm imagining like a lot of teenagers these days, they walk around with their phone on them 24/7. Doing the dishes, got the phone on them, walking down the street. So I'm like jokingly thinking to myself, what would a virtual co-work look like? Is there discussion? Do people have their cameras on, but they're just working with a camera on? I have this like goofy idea of having like 50 people with their cameras on, but all working. I just think it would be a funny thing to see. I know it probably doesn't look like that though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like us, you know, most people have kind of their office. And so we start out on the co-working days, which right now are Tuesday, Thursday. And people come on and we kind of chit chat, you know, again, I keep it in smaller cohorts. So there's some deep connections there. And so from there, we kind of talk about what are you working on? And sometimes I give it like an overarching theme of today we're focused on sales activities, because sales activities is one of those things that you can put on the back burner or find an excuse not to do every day. So saying, okay, today we're focused on sales activities, or today is kind of marketing and content creation. And so having that focus and direction. And then we kind of put on some music. Some people keep their cameras on, some people take them off, whatever they're comfortable with. I keep the chat open if people have, you know, questions or stumbling over something. And then I try to get the vibe of what people are in the mood for. As far as music, I like a lot of lyricless music because, especially when you're trying to create content, if you're getting distracted by the lyrics of the music, it can just throw you off. But it's a lot of like lyricless music. So those are my Tuesday, Thursdays. The Monday, Fridays are discussion heavy. So Mondays is what are you going to do this week? And let's put it into your calendar so that you have blocked time out. A lot of the people in my community wear a lot of hats. They do a lot of things, whether this is a passion project and they're doing it on the side or they are an entrepreneur doing it full time. They're also, you know, moms and partners and, you know, have a life outside their business. And so really having focused time to set aside for what is important to you and your goals. And then Wednesdays is my millionaire morning mindset call. So Mondays and Fridays are very like tasks. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to make progress? Wednesdays is very, you kind of zoom out from everything. What are my money blocks? How is fear showing up for me right now? What lessons can I take from the season I'm currently in to, my next season? And like yesterday, one of the questions was write a letter to money. You know, money is an energetic thing that people have a lot of blocks around. So those are we kind of run the gamut Monday through Friday as far as what the meetings entail.
You do. Did you say what Fridays were?
Oh, I'm sorry. Fridays are kind of like a wrap up. How did you do with your 2 to 3 things? What did you learn this week? Let's all celebrate a win for each person. And then also, how are you going to practice rest and gratitude over the weekend so that when we come back on Monday, you're like ready to go?
I love this. How can I just attend one of these as a fly on the wall or as a guest? How does that work?
I have never had a guest. The only thing that I have done is like recorded a session and sent it to someone so they could get some behind the scenes. But I run it in 10-week programs or like 10-week sessions because I take that back. The co-working is always open to anybody. So if you wanted to attend a Tuesday, Thursday co-working session, that's open to anybody.
Awesome.
The Monday, Wednesday, Friday are cohort specific because we create a lot of connection. And the fact that it's a 10-week journey and everyone's on the same 10-week journey is, again, it's really powerful. And we do share failures and fears and things that are a little bit deeper. And so it's really important for me right off the bat to create that safe space for growing your business, which can be really scary.
And I like that. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, if I want to come, I could maybe come meet a couple people, listen to music, do some co-working. But I actually like that 10 weeks, you charge money. you should, because I imagine everyone there's in it to win it together. It's not like dipping my toe in the water, seeing what the temperature is. Like, let's dive in together. And if someone starts to drown, we can pull them back up, but let's do this all together, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And what's kind of cool too is that the cohorts are not niche specific. So I have, like at this round right now, I have a sewing designer. So she creates like sewing programs, for both kids and adults. I have someone who's created an album. I have a career coach. I have someone who does like dog treats and also has a flower farm. And what's been really amazing to see is that regardless of the niche or the type of business we're building, we all struggle with some of the same things. We all have the same questions that pop up in our head. And so it's really wild to see how it doesn't matter what you're creating, but the journey of being an entrepreneur is very similar for a lot of us.
It is. It's nice to have those multiple perspectives because, like you said, the journey is similar. Let's get into your journey. So I dived right into like the meat and potatoes, but I'm curious. I have a million curiosities. Like, when did this idea come about? What's your journey? What's your history? So you can go back as long as you'd like, but, you know, tell us a story. Walk us through a little bit about your journey that led you to where you are today.
Cool. I love hearing, I'm a big podcast listener. And so I love hearing other people's journeys because I have yet to find an entrepreneur where their journey was a straight line. You know, they tend to take wonky curves. So I actually got my degree in education. I graduated from Cortland in 2009 with a phys ed degree. And in 2009, the city school district here in Rochester laid off 500 teachers. And being phys ed, which is one of the specials, there's only typically two in any elementary school. And, you know, they're just smaller in numbers. And so I was not only behind all the people I graduated with, but now these 500 teachers that had just been laid off. So it was a hard time to be a teacher. So I substitute taught for almost 4 years and then said, I need to do something different. I need to not feel like my job's in jeopardy every August, you know, just have a path. And so I started working for a startup in Rochester. And, you know, that was I worked for them for almost a decade. And when I started, we had just signed our first customer outside of New York State. And when I left, we were in 27 states. And I got to wear a lot of hats at that company, both operations, sales, marketing, you know, growth, onboarding. And so it was a really great experience. I was working with car dealers, so a very male dominated industry. And at certain points I was doing a lot of cold calling. So I was just on the phone dialing for dollars, calling into car dealers who did not want to talk to me. And so it could be, again, an isolating space. And so I actually joined Rochester Women's Network and sat in on a panel where a woman started talking about this lean-in group that she had created through Enterprise. And it was just so beautiful and so empowering. And I was like, I think I can do something like that. And so I just kind of went into my network and said, hey, this is what I'm thinking about creating. Would you be interested? And so I started my first lean-in group. And there were six of us and we met once a month. And sometimes we'd talk about the book, but more often we would talk about life and our, you know, struggles that we were having, but also like our wins. I would start each meeting with a rosebud and thorn. And so your rose is something great that's happening. Your thorn is something that you're struggling with right now. And then your bud is something you're looking forward to. And so it evolved outside of Lean In and kind of became a business book mastermind. And so I would leave every meeting kind of on cloud nine. And then I would say, how do I create more of this? So that's when I started to think about the physical space of High Vibe. And then 2020 happened and the physical space said, not right now. So it became a virtual idea. And I kind of fell into the 10-week cohort by accident. There were 10 weeks left of 2020 before the holidays hit, like really Christmas. We did the week before Christmas was the last time. And so I was not going to an office anymore, but still having to cold call and market and things like that. And I said, I'm struggling with accountability and not having a space to show up on Monday morning. I'm sure other people are.
Exactly.
So I created my first accountability group. I said, we have 10 weeks left of 2020. Let's do what we can and I think I had 12 people on there and it was totally free. I would open the Zoom room on Monday for 30 minutes, on Friday for 30 minutes. And people could show up in whatever capacity felt right for them. And I was like, this is cool. This is impactful. You know, this makes a difference in people's weeks. And so then I did my first one in quarter four of 2020 and I've run it every quarter since. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, I dip my toe into charging and pricing and that fun stuff, but it's really kind of grown and evolved from there. But that's really the basis of where I started.
It's incredible. And it's a work in progress. It's a conscious evolution, right? So it's you're learning through the other entrepreneurs and by doing it and having a new, you know, group every quarter. I'm hesitating because I'm remembering back. So you said Rose, Bud, and Thorn.
Yes.
I always like something fun and actionable for the note takers. So let's do that. I'm going to do it in my head. I'll do it in my head, but I'll do it later. But let's write down Rose, Bud, and Thorn. And what are the three again?
So your rose is something that's going really well for you right now. And so like a rose in my business right now is that I have a full cohort of entrepreneurs this round, and it's just such a cool group that I get to be in their universe every week. A thorn is something that you're struggling with right now. And right now my struggle is wearing so many hats. Like I my time is very fractured right now and I feel that. And so that's something I want to be like conscious of and work on. And my bud is something I'm looking forward to. And I actually have a couple proposals out to colleges right now to run entrepreneurship curriculum for them. And I'm really excited to see where that is going to go. What would be your rosebud and thorn right now?
And I want to dive into your thorn in a second, but my rose, so it's funny, this will come up afterwards, but I just recently, so the Global Leadership Summit, it's a global summit, incredible, amazing speakers. And then here in Rochester, they have like a local viewing party. So huge screen. And obviously we view the summit live, but since we're live, there's networking, have lunch together, masterminding, like breakout rooms, all live viewing the summit. So you're not just sitting, you know, watching it at home on your computer. And they have different like speakers and panels during the summit break. So I was recently asked to be part of a panel in the Rochester version of the Global Leadership Summit. So I'm really excited to do that. It's funny because this will come out right after that happened. Okay. So guys, if you missed the Global Leadership Summit, you need to go next year. You can check out my link to all that. I'll be posting like crazy about it because I love it. So I'm excited about that right now. So the bud, my bud's very similar to yours. So I have so many ideas and so many projects because there's only one of me, and I'll be quite honest with myself. I get shiny object syndrome and I want to do lots of things. I'm not monetizing all these ideas. So I start it and I don't complete it. And my current marketing firm is where I make my money, but I have all these other projects that I feel like if I doubled down or created a team, I'd have more impact. So it's really, again, similar to you, just having so many different ideas and so many things I want to work on. Thorn, what was Thorn again?
Something that you're struggling with right now.
Struggling with. Ooh, so that kind of is kind of a thorn in itself, learning how to monetize all these ideas. I love podcasts like you. I love listening to podcasts. I'm not just a podcast host. Like, I like hosting, but I love listening. And I like guesting as well. So again, I'm creating more issues for myself, but I kind of want to pivot and be more involved in the podcast industry because I do offer marketing services that kick butt and I love what I do. but I love podcasting as well. And I almost feel like there's a sweet spot that's missing in my life, kind of monetizing, whether it's production or booking, everything podcast content. But this isn't about me. You talked about startups and like writing proposals for college. Talk a little bit more about that, because that's new and exciting.
It is. Yeah. So I'm interested to see where this will go, because I have a couple ideas for like paths I want to go. But it kind of started as an idea of, I heard of this program called Startup New York, and they work with local colleges. And I said, oh, this kind of feels like a good niche for me, or a good path for me to follow. And so I just started emailing people and seeing where it went. And while the Startup New York program wasn't the right fit, the conversations I was having led me to connecting with the directors of career services for a couple schools. And they said, I think this is more who you should be talking to. And so I had those conversations, and they were like, this is one of the schools specifically was like, we get feedback from alumni every year who said, this is what they're missing in their educational career at our college. This is exactly what our alumni is asking for. And so that was just a really cool confirmation of, okay, you take the right steps, you plant seeds, you see where it goes. And part of why I was interested to see where this goes is because a lot of my content that I'm currently creating is around, the metaphors that are very similar between growing a garden or growing just things in general and growing a business and the connection there. And when you talk about there being a sweet spot for you and like, you love this and you love this, how are you going to mesh those? And that's been a journey for me that I've gone through this year. Is I love my garden. I love growing. I'm very passionate about it. And I was like, okay, where do these two things come together? And that's what has just kind of come forward of like, there are a lot of similarities between growing a garden and growing a business and being a gardener and being an entrepreneur. The conversations you have, the struggles, the highs, the lows, the metaphors are just so abundant in both of those spaces. So that's been a really cool journey that I've been on this year as well.
I love this. And I love the plant seeds metaphor, because that's something I know I do all the time. Like, I get feedback from people that are in my sphere before I go out and put a ton of money into a new endeavor. I plant seeds and see, is there a market for it? Do people support it? And you learn from people by planting those seeds. What other metaphors, though? Because I've used the planting seeds metaphor a lot. What other metaphors come to mind, though, that maybe I haven't heard of yet?
Yeah. So there's a couple. One of my favorite ones is, like last year I did a farm to table event at my house. We live on 5 acres. We have a good sized patio. So I created like 5 dishes that were mostly from my garden. And then I had a sommelier come, and he matched 5 wines with each plate that I created. And it was just this like really magical event. And so as I'm sitting at the table, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I would love to be a gardener. It must be so nice to just go out into your backyard and pick food and, you know, have this bounty that you created. And you're like, yeah, it is really nice to have a garden. It's also really hard. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And as an entrepreneur, you hear a lot that as well. Like, it must be so nice to be your own boss. Like, that is so cool that you created your own business. And yeah, it's really cool. And it's really hard. Like, there's so much that goes into it that you struggle with. So yeah, that's one of my favorites. The other one that kind of I've been writing on and journaling on a lot recently is about weeds, because I'm in the depth of really struggling with weeds right now. But there's so many lessons that come from weeds, and weeds in business are like fear that pops up, imposter syndrome, the comparison to someone else's business, someone else's journey. But I think that what weeds can also tell you is that you're moving in the right direction. You're growing something that you're going to get something out of. You're growing on fertile ground, fertile soil that wants to grow, that wants to build something beautiful, but you have to dig through the weeds to get what's on the other side of it.
Yeah. You need to pluck them out. You need to dig. You can't just clip off the top because it'll continue to grow. You got to dig through. Yeah. It's funny. And I think what I mentioned it when we first met, and I haven't even read the book yet, but a previous guest, Stu Hynek, wrote the book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone. He's like world renowned for that. But he just released a book called How to Grow Your Business Like a Weed. And what's interesting is there's a contrast of metaphors. So there's two ways to see it. I asked him, like, why you like weeds, Stu? And he's like, no, I don't like weeds. It's a metaphor. But there's like weeds can be issues and struggles and opportunities and things you need to pluck out and learning experiences. But I haven't read his book yet. But to my understanding, when he says how to grow your business like a weed, he's referring to the durability, the sustainability, the ability to like multiply, the differentiation. He's using weeds in like a flipped, like we want our business to be like weeds because they just break through any kind of like we chop them, they come back up. You know, they multiply, they're durable, they're sustainable. So I haven't read the book yet, so I'm not an expert, but this gardening analogy, oh my gosh, you guys are like spearheading a whole new movement of gardeners that are also entrepreneurs in business. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's been really fun to create that content, and people seem to resonate with it. I kind of dabble with it on my Instagram and things like that. And people are like, yeah, that's good. So
what's your Instagram?
I am at High Vibe Cowork.
At High Vibe Cowork. Everybody knows it'll be in the show notes, but at High Vibe Cowork. Where'd that name come from? High Vibe Cowork. High Vibe specifically.
Yeah. So I would go to different networking events, and you know, I've tried like masterminds and Toastmasters and RWN, and I just wanted to get out there, you know, and meet new people. You know, I went to school for education, and then my second career was in software sales for car dealerships, and so they were so like specific. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what even else is out there? So I just started networking every week, and I would leave them and I would call my dad because we're like business buddies. Him and I are on the same wavelength with business. And he would ask me like, how was it? And I would be like, that was high vibe or that was not high vibe. And that was kind of the barometer I would use for different events. And so one of those things like create what you're craving. And I was craving more high vibe spaces. And so I created more high vibe spaces.
So everything you do is high vibe. I mean, there's the co-working, which is fun with the music and the accountability, but then there's like the mindset money minutes, there's intentions, there's gratitude and holding, you know, going into the weekend good. So you've got a good week coming up. Where did you start learning some of that stuff from? Like, is there any networking spaces or events that you've attended that you were like, yeah, that's high vibe and kind of was an inspiration what you do now?
Yeah. So there's a couple. RWN has been great. There's also a local group called Bossy. I think Maureen Bellatori was on your podcast earlier this year, and she is one of the founders of it. That's really, really great. And a lot of the content that I consume is high vibe. So one of the lean in was kind of a catalyst. Jen Sincero is another one that I actually have her book right here.
Okay.
Badass Habits.
Badass Habits. Let me write this down. I think you told me about this and I never read it. So,
So she's great. And then, you know, podcasts that I listen to tend to be kind of in that sphere as well. So like Jenna Kutcher is a big one that I listen to. Brene Brown is another one that I listen to. So.
Jenna Kutcher from The Office?
No.
I'm having a moment here.
Although she had someone from The Office on her podcast, which is interesting, but now I can't remember.
Someone at home's like, oh my God, Ben. I think the main character in The Office is Jenna, similar to Kutcher. So,
yeah.
Because there's a podcast, Office Ladies, and I was wondering if that was it. So I got a little lost there. Any other recommendations?
Her podcast is called The Gold Digger, which is really, really great. What are my other podcast listens? I feel like I have them on, they just like go into autoplay and I can't even remember. Oh, yeah. A new one I'm listening to is called Bad with Money, with Gabby Dunn. And they go into a lot of the mindset around money. And I think that's growing a business, learning how to manage money is not innate. It's not like something you're born with. It's something that you are taught or learn. And I think both like the tactical part of it and the mindset part of it are really, really important. And so that's one of the things that I know I've had money blocks in the past. You know, one of my ones was, my dad was a white collar worker who provided for the family. He worked for Bausch & Lomb for years, and then started his own business. And so he provided the income and stability for our family. Whereas my mom was a social worker. So she, you know, worked the overnight shift. So they, you know, didn't send us to daycare but really like made an impact on the community. And so I grew up not because of what they told me, but just because of what I saw was that you can either make an impact or you can make an income, and they are mutually exclusive and never the two shall meet. So that is one that I've, you know, reading Jen Sincero, she has a book around money, or Amanda Francis. I just finished her book about money. You know, anything around money and energy, I think can be really impactful. And so my journey is to make an impact and make an income. So
impact equals income. Not in every cases. It's not in every case. So there are jobs, and I don't want to throw any industry under the bus, but there are professions where you aren't adding. I'll throw one thing under the bus. Cryptocurrency. I don't know if all right, that's not a good one. NFTs specifically, and people are going to get mad at me. NFTs that are not good quality. So it's like a digital asset. But the question I ask myself is whose lives were changed? Because a lot of times people, just this market in general, someone gets really, really rich off someone else losing a ton of money. So if someone makes money, it's not like everyone's lifted through crypto and NFTs and the stock market. If one person makes money they're making is at the detriment to someone who lost money. It's not like the money just comes out of thin air. So there are certain things, and I'm on a tangent. I'm tired today. You can tell. There are certain things that I feel like don't necessarily have a net positive game. It's just a net average, or maybe even net negative. But there's so many ways that we can make an impact in this world and make money doing it.
Yeah.
Like if you look at big companies like Tesla to small companies like nonprofits, the way they generate revenue is by helping people and creating products and entrepreneurial startups that actually move the needle on the way this world operates. Like that's huge impact that leads to huge money, right?
Yeah. So it's been an energy block that I'm still working through, but I think a lot of people do struggle with it too.
I obviously I'm talking through it because I maybe struggle with it a little bit. So if someone does have kind of a money block, because again, you can learn stock trading and make money, but it might not impact, and you can take that money and create impact with it, but the making of the money is not, is different than the impact you're creating. So you have a money block, you want to create an impact, but you don't want to hurt anybody doing it. Like, what should I do to start trying to get rid of these money blocks?
Yeah, I think so. As I mentioned in the beginning of this, yesterday during the Millionaire Morning Mindset call, we wrote a letter to money. And that was one of my first exercises that I did that really started to uncover some of those blocks that I had. I come from a big community of teachers. You know, a lot of my friends are teachers. My husband's a teacher. There's a lot of teachers in my family. And when you're around a lot of civil servants, they look at people who make a lot of money and think that they're greedy, or that, you know, money is bad, because I, am a civil servant, and the jobs that they do are, if nothing else came out of 2020, it's that teachers are like, do God's work with, my husband's a teacher. I was a teacher. And for our daughter, we were terrible teachers during COVID. It was so hard to do all those things.
Yeah.
But societally, I think that we can say like money equals greed, and kind of working away from that and really understanding what is your relationship with money and how do you look at it? Do you check your bank account every week, how do you feel when you look at your bank account? You know, what sort of importance do you put on yourself when you make a bad investment or spend too much, or, you know, how emotionally, how do you feel when that happens? And just really starting to bring awareness to how you feel about money, I think is a good first step. You know, and reading around wealth and money. And there's another book called We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers. That's another good one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I would say first steps would be.
We should all be millionaires.
And especially in our political climate that we're in right now, to be able to put money into what's important to you and empower movements that are important to you. That's another reason I think that making money is really important.
It is the investment in yourself. And that's something I overlooked for a lot of my life. And then I realized that part of my money blocks charging my clients was that I didn't invest in myself that amount of money. And it was interesting. Once I started to invest in self-development and invest in myself, it was easier to charge someone else that amount, because I had done it myself and I had seen the massive impact in making that investment. So it's like this limiting belief that I can't charge what I'm worth because I don't spend it. So I went out and I invested, honestly, more money than I should in different programs. And this, I just said more money than I should. See, a limiting belief there again. And in doing that, it was easier to charge what I was worth because I realized the value of the actual outcome rather than the dollar sign itself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Well, cool. I took us on a huge tangent. I took full credit for that. I apologize for any listeners. I hope people are fact checking me and come in the comments and bring something else. I was also taking a lot of notes here. Badass Habits, the Gold Digger podcast, We Should All Be Millionaires, Rachel Rogers. We've got a whole cheat sheet of stuff that we can start reprogramming our brain and learning some of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So we kind of already did the rapid fire round accidentally, because the rapid fire round's just short, sweet. either or fill in the blank questions where I ask you about books and podcasts and stuff like that. So you already started it. So let's dive into it at like extra speed.
Cool.
And I often start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Favorite time of the year?
The summer. Summer going into fall. That's when my garden is really, really kind of wild and bountiful.
It's a good reason to like that time of year. Yeah. Favorite guilty pleasure? Like, you know, ice cream, anything like that. I probably shouldn't have this, but I absolutely love it.
I love a good queso dip.
Ooh, a good queso dip. And in that vein of just having fun and enjoying yourself, what do you do? So you're like me, you're always coming up with ideas. You love gardening. I guess that's your answer. So we can't do gardening. What do you do on just your free time where I'm just doing this for me? I'm going to relax. Marshawn needs a break. And I just realized a good answer is gardening. So let's get a second answer as well.
If anyone's familiar with Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 3. So rest is very hard for me. So I think sitting on the back porch and like reading a good book is probably my favorite place to practice rest.
I like that. Tell us one more time. So high vibe. I'm all about the high vibes. I want to go into a networking meeting and like just talk telling everybody about it, taking lots of notes. More than anything, meeting incredible people. That's what you guys do. So how do I get in touch with High Vibe? What's your social media website? What should my next move be?
Yeah, so I'm most active on Instagram as far as social media. So at High Vibe Cowork. I also have a website if you want to, you know, just hear more about the programs and pricing and things like that. That's highvibecowork.com. And I also love setting up networking calls via Zoom. If you're in Rochester, then also, you know, I love grabbing a cup of coffee. But yeah, I have a Calendly that we can put the link to that in the show notes if anyone wants to just hop on a 30-minute call and get to know each other better.
Calendly, Instagram, all the socials, the website, we'll put it in the show notes. I do recommend, you know, send an Instagram DM, start a conversation, and then move into the Calendly.
Yeah.
Because it's all about building relationships and helping each other, right?
Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Well, Marshawn, we'll do it again. I love keep me in the loop about everything with your new project, with the startups and the colleges. And I was thinking about that. When I was in college, like I learned some marketing stuff and communication and philosophy, but I didn't really have an entrepreneurship class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it's a wild journey to be an entrepreneur. So even if you get out of it and you're like, oh God, that is not for me. Like you've taken something out of it, you know?
That we just talked about this. You invested in yourself. You might have failed, but the skill sets and the learning is worth the chance. It's worth the risk, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Guys, make sure you connect with my, we'll talk soon. It's all in the show notes. I'll make sure people connect with you. And I look forward to doing this again soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.